Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here today with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and of course, your calls. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean...
What's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Welcome back to New Life Live. Dr. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard and you. And guess what? June is a time for cleaning for me, spring cleaning.
So you do spring cleaning
in
June.
Well, it's already summer, late Sherry. Spring cleaning.
When do, when do you do your summer cleaning?
In the fall.
Should we keep this going?
It's more of a clean-up. She's cleaning up after spring and after summer.
No, I actually have more time in the summer. Spring is usually pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But, so I went in and was looking through some stuff, getting rid of some things, but I went into my Hope Chest, of all places. You know, Hope Chest, my dad gave it to me. My dad passed away about 6 years ago, but he gave me this Hope Chest when I graduated from high school. So it's really a special thing. But I had not opened it literally for 20 years. 20 years
wow.
It's been since I opened that Hope Chest. So I opened it and found some really amazing things. Just a few of them I will show you. My very first perfume bottle that I was ever given, I got it when I was 14 from a young man. My first book I ever wrote.
I'm sure there's a story there.
We don't have time to do it. My first book, Ollie the Odd Octopus. So, Steve, I have done a book. I know you're kind of nipping at my heels to do that, but Ollie the Odd Octopus. And then there's this little, like, punching fist. I had some of the coolest things come out. This is my this is my grandfather's marbles, right? And this is a lizard.
He lost
his
marbles.
This is like
and
an
you
old
found
treasure
them.
Chest. It is. And this is a lizard
he
I
lost
had.
Lost his marble.
She found them.
I did.
That was her first step towards becoming a shrink.
Yes, that's right.
No, that was, have you hugged a human being today? Can you see the shrink in me was even there at that point. But you know what I found was a key. And it was actually a key to my diary. Which is still missing, actually. I hit it really, really well.
Because you're still writing it, Sherry.
I know. It's that place that you have all those little secrets in and things that you don't want people to know about. And it made me think of you with your book.
The
Secret Women's Keep. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, The Secrets Women Keep came out of the idea that really there are healthy secrets and unhealthy secrets. You know, there are secrets that, like maybe in a diary where we're sharing just fun little things and that help us maybe reflect and get to know ourselves better.
But so then, it's okay to have those kind of
secrets. It's okay to have some secrets.
All right.
Yeah. That really there's a difference between having a secret and having a sense of privacy, that we get to be private about some things. But sometimes we have secrets that kind of fester inside of us and really cause us to feel bad about ourselves. And that in the midst of those secrets, you know, we kind of listen to those lies and it turns into shame. And so those secrets staying hidden like that and not brought out into the light kind of distort our view of ourselves, of others, of God, and keep us from moving forward in our lives the way God intended us to. So those are the secrets that we talk about in the book and the idea of helping to move out of those places and places where you can share them in relationship.
Wow. So we need to let those secrets out in a safe place.
Yes. Not everywhere, but, you know, certain places, yes, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of nice to know you have a safe place to share your secrets. So your therapist could actually kind of be like your diary, huh?
Right. Yes. Or a group or a best friend.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear what's going on for you and the secrets. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn today with Dr. Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard. And let's go to our calls here. We are going to go to Tim. Tim is calling from Dallas, Texas. And he's online, actually. Hey, Tim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How can we help you?
Tim, don't let her give you grief about your accent, man.
It's finally
good to hear somebody on the radio that doesn't have an accent, right?
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You stay long enough, we'll hear
that
accent.
Well, hopefully it's not too distracting then.
No. But, I lived in Dallas for 5 years, so I can understand you.
Great. My question is, I've been dating a girl for 8 months,
yeah,
and I have brought up some issues with her. It's kind of a recurring theme of how we act towards friendships with the opposite sex.
How old are you guys?
I am 22.
20. Are y'all in school?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm about to graduate this upcoming year.
And she's the same age?
Yes, she's 21, actually.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So basically, I've brought up a few things that have made me uncomfortable, and I want to know if I'm just kind of overreacting or being jealous. For instance, she kind of has a habit of calling not just girls but also guys kind of pet names like sweetie and honey, stuff like that. And then, you know, she has, you know, with her close guy friends, she'll sometimes say, you know, love you, miss you, and stuff like that.
Sounds like she's from Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those sound like Southern things, right? Even though, yeah, go ahead.
Right. So I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, I guess I've just kind of grown up under the certain assumptions that, you know, I've heard those words used with significant others and, you know, love you and stuff. I've always, you know, I waited to say that to her until
I... Well, love you if somebody is walking out the door, I mean, and looking someone that you're dating in the eyes and saying, I love you, those are very different, Tim.
Okay.
There are different types of love.
Yeah, that sounds like an affectionate kind of, you know.
Love you.
Like a greeting. Yeah, love you. See you later.
Okay.
Like, and love you like a platonic friend.
Yeah. And the other thing you said, which I think is should give you, I would think, some kind of, you know, reason for less concern would be when you said she has a habit of calling people affectionate names, which means this isn't about some guy named Jake, right, or Johnny or something. That's the way she relates to her boy-friends, right?
Yeah.
And she just calls them, you know, sweetie pie or whatever. And it's a way that she relates. It's not that she's in love with somebody.
Okay.
Is that right?
That makes total sense to me. It's just... I guess I've always just connected those words to other, you know, different contexts. And so
I do that on the radio. I say that a lot, and I even kind of do it sometimes. You know, I'm like, oh, dear, oh, honey. And I don't even know that I'm doing it, but it's a term of endearment for me.
Right.
If she's given you reason to question.
Now, that'd be
different. That's faithfulness. The other thing. The words alone do not necessarily suggest that, you know, she's caring about everybody around her. But if you know, if there are other things, if she is
flirty,
or
so
some other things is she's kind of had, you know, one-on-one, just like, well, I guess it came out. I guess this lack of trust came out because she was forward and honest with me a couple months after telling me that one of her guy friends had been flirty and been inappropriately flirty with her.
Yeah.
And I think she was, you know, originally when we first started dating, she told me that they were, you know, just friends. But apparently it came out later that he had been really flirty with her. But the good thing is she's completely cut off contact with him.
So that's a good
sign.
So that's
a trust builder.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's not flirting back. So that's good. Those are good
signs.
Well,
she told you about it.
And she had concern. She wasn't eating up the attention.
What else?
Exactly. And so what else gives me reason to think that?
What else are you worried about?
Just, you know, honestly, I think it's my own insecurity. I just feel like when she tells me about these guy friends that she'll see, you know, she'll talk to one of her, you know, best friends that they've, you know, have cried together at the end of high school about his breakup. And, she has a habit of rescuing people. And so when these guys kind of come, a lot of guys have tended to come to her with their problems. And she just feels this great urge to, you know, fix them. And she realizes that's bad, but she's kind of recovering from that. But it's just, I just feel like, I guess I'm worried that if she's too affectionate with these guys, that it would give them the wrong impression, and they would kind of suck her into like this emotional, you know, I don't know. I guess I just feel like they would try to
take advantage of her, take advantage of her mercy, her bleeding heart, her, you know,
right.
But can you make that? Can you make that a separate issue that has nothing to do with you and trust?
I suppose I could. I guess I don't quite understand.
Well, let's say that you 100% trusted her. She could have lots of guy friends. There's no problem there. But like with any pattern in her life, that you would think, you know what, I feel for you because these guys are like going to suck the life out of you, and they're going to become dependent and this, that, and the other. But you're not threatened at all. You're just trying to help her. There's another scenario where you're trying to get her to stop doing that because it makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
And that would be the problematic scenario because hopefully you would want to be with someone that A, has good men friends, and B, knows
and
how to do
it.
Yeah, and knows how to do that well.
Okay.
So does that help?
It absolutely does.
Good.
You're
saying
it is kind of appropriate to have male friendships, even if they're, you know, them calling each other one-on-one and talking about kind of life and and doing that without me. That's totally fine.
Well, it's totally to the pure, all things are pure.
Okay.
Right?
It's fine. And, fine within reason. Right?
Yeah. Well,
if it becomes secretive, that's
exactly,
not fun.
That's not pure anymore.
No.
Yeah. Or if she gives you a reason to believe, you know, she starts hanging out with them on a regular basis where you're like, hey, what's going on here? So,
but in a weird way. Okay. If you look, Tim, I wrote a book called Changes That Heal.
Yeah.
And I dedicated that book to two women friends of mine.
Okay.
Who were very, very, very much the instruments of God's healing in my life. Very close friends. And we're still extremely close today. And this is, you know, two decades later. In fact, one of their sons just spent 5 days with our family, flew in from Chicago.
Gotcha.
Long-term friendships. And so, these are very close friends. We talk about life exactly like you said, but there's never been anything untoward about it.
Right. Okay.
And well, especially from growing up, you develop those.
I'm sorry.
No.
No,
these aren't
it's in adulthood.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But a lot of times from growing up.
I was screwed up as an adult, Jill.
I
wasn't just a troubled child. I was a dysfunctional budding adult.
But a lot of times, childhood friends that were never romantic, you know.
Right.
So can I just confirm something?
Yeah,
To see if I'm hearing it, like on a practical level. So, you know, you said to the pure, all things are pure. And, you know, I've heard some people say that, you know, if you're dating someone, they you know, shouldn't even, you know, have, like, you know, long coffees with another person by themselves. Now, is that kind of
No, I don't agree with that across the board. Mm. But if somebody has a dependency problem and they're prone to falling in love with close friends, then you would have a problem. I mean, I could see nothing wrong with, for example, this program ends and Jill and I or Sherry and I go out and we have a long coffee and talk about lots of different stuff. I think that
would be Henry grills me on dating every opportunity.
But some people, but in all fairness, some people would have a problem with that. Some people keep stricter boundaries on that.
Some people would have a problem with that.
Right.
But I don't.
Okay. Right. Right.
So okay. And do you, let me ask you a different way. Do you think Jesus didn't have any women friends?
No, he definitely did.
He did.
Mary Magdalene and
Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He caught a lot of grief for that. So.
Yeah, true.
Well, they traveled with them, but there's nothing in Scripture anywhere that talks of impropriety. I mean, there was nothing in Scripture.
But if you're meeting
Hold on. Why did you say that, though? Because I didn't say that. So why did you say it?
Why did you say that?
What?
So I said that Jesus had close women friends, right? And then you instantly came back and said, yeah, but there's nothing that...
Scripture?
Yeah, why
would
you feel the need to say that?
Well, because I have studied the life of Mary Magdalene recently because of sharing the monologue at the,
In Israel.
In Israel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to know her personality.
Right.
And there's a lot of false documentation out there about that Mary Magdalene was a woman of discretion that had been sexually inappropriate. And that there's nothing in the Bible that talks about that. She was a woman of character.
Right. But in this moment, why would you add that? Because of your studies?
Yes, I think. And I think it is, if a woman is being integrous, if she's really walking in purity,
right.
Mm-hmm. To have somebody anxiously moving about her is anxiety producing. Because it's like, I just want you to trust me. What is it that you don't trust about how I am making my way in the world?
Mm-hmm. For Tim, like for instance.
For Tim.
That
would feel
constantly be questioning her every
move. Like, whoa,
Yeah, and my point in asking you that was, it's sort of like the rhetorical question, that I think a lot of times people are very, very, they're so quick to just assume in, opposite sex friendships that something could go wrong.
Right.
That there's so much fear out there that we instantly feel the need to make sure that we say, it's all on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And I believe that done well, and this is a really important point, I think, for healing, because I've been in settings where, where people said that they don't allow co-ed groups for therapy groups because somebody might begin to feel some attraction or something like this, and here's the reality, guys. God has put us in a family and we have brothers and sisters, and He gave us brothers and sisters for reasons, and He expects for us to be able to have brothers and sisters without inappropriate behavior going on. And that body has got to be able to function. And sometimes I see people getting cut off from the healing that, let's say a guy was never mothered well. You know what he needs? He needs some really good women in his life that love him very deeply, that there is no danger of becoming sexually involved with. Or vice versa, a woman that never had a father's love. She needs the men in the body of Christ to be able to get very close to her and not violate her.
Oh, I get it.
And what happens is you've got so many phobic people out there that they don't allow the healing that the body of Christ can afford people and the support that it can afford people to do. Mm-hmm. And if there is a danger, again, to the pure, all things are pure. You don't send a sex addict into a close friendship with the opposite sex,
right?
But there are very good scenarios where people are.
Well, we usually hear where there's the problems, in the media with pastors, things like that, where there are problems, where the boundaries are violated. So to give the other side, where there actually can be some healthy relationships, I think we don't talk enough about.
Yeah, and some of the greatest, healthiest spiritual communities that I know, I won't mention them by name. They would if they wanted to, but large ministries, a bunch of them, that have such good opposite sex working teams mm-hmm. and relationships that are so vibrant that I think some of the groups that are so phobic because they don't want to be, you know, under suspicion or something mm-hmm. like that.
They want to avoid the appearance of evil.
Yeah, and that's not even what that, they take that. That's not even what that verse means. Actually, that verse means evil as it appears in its various forms. In other words, watch out for all the different kinds of evil mm-hmm. out there. It's not a
Your
looking
point
thing.
Is well taken. My mm-hmm. my small group that I've been with for 5.5 years, almost 6 years, is men and women. Some are married, some are single.
And hasn't that been healing? That's
I
some good
have
men,
loved
your
it.
Brothers?
Oh, my goodness. I've had these men speak over my life, like speak to me with protection and strength. And I'm like, whoa, where
what
else would I get that?
Made a rule that said, you can't go out for coffee after the group.
That's true. But it has been so good for us. So we'll be right back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And, hey, our callers, we have...
We have great callers.
We do.
We love
what
our callers.
What a great issue that he brought up there.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
It is.
Good stuff.
Lots of good things can go to the extreme in either direction. Right?
And we didn't get to finish all of it. But if you're in a situation where something bad could happen, that's not what we're saying. You know, don't make yourself vulnerable or at risk to some sort of a problem. But don't go the other way and say men and women can't be friends.
Yeah. Don't be so overly rigid in that.
Yep.
Well, we have coming up here in November 3rd through the 6th, we have our Lose It for Life conference coming up, which we had one in January, and we've had lots of callers call and update us on how they're doing. We wanted to show you a video clip about Lose It for Life.
I came here kicking and screaming. I had no idea what this ministry was. My parents literally threw me on a plane and shipped me off here. I thought I was coming to fat camp. I didn't know what to expect. I had a horrible attitude, but within an hour of getting here and just seeing all the beauty of this event, I called my parents and forgave them, and I said, I'm about to have the time of my life.
It doesn't matter what the number is, whether you have 10 pounds, 20 pounds, or 200 pounds, the issues are all still up here. And I still had a little girl inside me that needed healing.
I leave here with many new friends, a specific yet achievable plan that is not just about losing weight.
To anyone considering attending this event, I would say, just do it. And remember the wise words of Michelle. She said, there's no failure in falling down. The only failure is if we stay down.
If you're considering it, you should consider that that's God calling you and saying to you, you're worth it.
You're not going to be disappointed. It's worth every penny. You won't be the fat one. You're going to gain so much more than you ever thought you would gain.
My future now is so bright, I got to wear shades.
Oh, I love him. My future now is so bright, I got to wear shades. Well, you are worth it. And we'd love to have you come with us in November. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll fill you in on all the details of that event. So let's go to the phones here. We are going to talk to Linda, who's calling from Hayward, California.
Hello.
You're listening on KFAX.
Yes.
Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Well, as a mother and father-in-law of a man that I consider a gigolo, my daughter has lost herself in her six-year marriage. God is working on them. He's definitely in the middle of it. A little bit of history about my son-in-law. Prior to salvation, he was homeless for over 10 years. He was a drug addict and an alcoholic. Now that he's saved, he's in the Word a lot. He's a great minister. God has really given him a gift. He's no longer doing drugs, no longer drinking.
Is this the gigolo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're waiting to hear about that.
Yeah. So,
keep going.
Well, he most of his life, if he has lived with anybody, it's been a woman. He's had various jobs throughout his life, but never for more than about 6 months at a time. So he has all the stories that he has, and he loves to talk about the past. All the stories that he has are about the women that he's lived with, but he doesn't have a long history of working. And he's some of his the things that he did when he was homeless was live out of dumpsters, and even after 6 years of marriage, he still dumpster dives, and he brings stuff home from the dumpsters and says, "Oh, I can fix this. I can use this.
Wow.
I can make two things out, one thing out of two, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And yet he doesn't do it, and he doesn't throw them away. Won't let my daughter throw them away. Their apartment is, you know, floor to ceiling. All this
sounds
junk
like
that he won't
hoarding.
Get rid of.
Hoarding and OCD stuff. So give
collector.
Us a collector to the max. Hey, Linda, we are about ready to head for a break here. Could you give us a question before we go to our break?
What, as a mother and father-in-law, can my husband and I do when he returns? I'll tell you where he is later, but when he returns after about a month or so, to help our daughter set and keep new boundaries.
What is your daughter asking you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Just support her, be there for her, not anything specific.
Well, does she feel satisfied? Does she feel satisfied with the extent of support that you're giving?
I think so, yes. I don't want to step on toes. You know, I don't want to do more than she wants me to. She knows she needs help. She knows she needs my help and other people's help. She realizes that she's been a codependent and she's been working on that.
Yeah, Linda, without knowing a lot more, I'm just going to give you a couple of principles.
Should we do it right now or wait till we get back?
One principle
is
usually to do things after the break if you don't have enough time before the break.
Because the break
we
is
just
a boundary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a
we
hard
have to keep.
Boundary.
We just want to make sure we have enough time to sit with you. But right now, it sounds like you are really worried about your daughter and that her husband has been digging up dumpsters and has had a long history of not working, and there's some issues there. But we can hear your concern about them for certain. So we will be right back with you. You're listening to New Life. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. Thank you for coming back. New Life Live. And Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn here with Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard and Linda, who has a lot of concern about her daughter. Her son-in-law is really has recovered from drug addiction and being homeless, but has been dumpster digging and out of work, kind of dependent, and there's a lot of concern, Linda, so we want to help. So your question is what should you be doing?
Well, I was going to give a couple of principles.
All right.
And I think that it's good to think about these in deciding whatever it is that you do, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And the principle is this. The person who is in the position to do the most about a problem is the one who should be in the position of feeling the most need to do something about the problem. You follow that?
Okay.
Which means, if your daughter is really, really... See, what has to happen is she has to get a belly full of how his lack of getting healthy is affecting her to be motivated to take the very difficult steps that she's going to have to take to maybe, you know, go to a group, go to marriage counseling, or go find a therapist or a support system or this, that, and the other. And she needs the drive to do that. And generally the drive to do that comes from her own angst that's happening within the relationship.
Yes.
So here's what happens. Parents have the angst. They step in and they try to get their daughters to do something, and the parents are carrying more angst at that part than the daughter is. And so the daughter becomes resistant to the push from the parents because you're pushing her to do something that she's not quite ready to do or she would have done it.
It might even isolate her more.
In the last 6 years.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so the better approach is for you to stay separate from her and just be a listener and a question asker. Like, so, you know, how is it for you when you guys go through this? And she tells you, and then instead of saying, well, I think you should say, gosh, that must be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you're empathically just listening. And then slowly what you're doing is you're having her own, the distress of being in this situation. okay? That's the principle. That doesn't mean you don't help or you can't help or whatever. But if you're adding pressure, then she's feeling less pressure, and that tends to go stuck. The second principle that I think is really, really important is that, generally speaking, adult parents are not very helpful in terms of being the helpers in a situation like this. What mm-hmm. adult parents are more helpful in is being a bridge to get their adult children to outside help that's outside of the family system.
Okay.
So the best thing you could do is say, you know, Lynn, or Susie or whatever her name is, you know, I can see this is hard for you. Would you like for me to help you find a counselor that can help? Because it's way past me. I mean, I can't help you with this. And besides that, you're my daughter, and I don't know. You know, I can be your friend and be supportive, but maybe there's a good counselor that deals with hoarders or deals with, you know, situations like this, and maybe I can help you find a counselor. Mm-hmm. And see, then you're out of it in the executive functions, and you're in it in the supportive functions.
Okay.
And it's also helping to shift the roles because, okay, she's a married woman now, and so she needs to learn to deal with this problem within the context of the relationship as an adult married woman, not in a sense running to mom and dad and saying, mom and dad, please fix this for me.
No, she's
or
never,
take care of this.
She's never run to us, never asked okay. us to fix it. But he's gone for a couple months. He's doing some ministry somewhere, and she realizes that she is so happy now that she's gone, and it breaks my heart because mm-hmm. in the last 6 years I've seen her go down. I mean, he's not doing anything for her.
So it sounds like
losing herself.
It sounds like
realizes that she
relief.
She says, "I'm with him gone now. I'm getting myself back."
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so
don't
like I want to help her get herself back.
She's getting it.
Mm-hmm. She's getting her belly full, like
yeah.
Henry talked about.
Don't reach yeah. over there and take any of that stuff out of her belly.
Yeah,
she's waking up.
Yes.
And see, now she can be a force for good in their relationship.
So I should still, even though she's seen this, I can't somehow come behind her and say, "Okay, you want to do this? Whatever you want to do, but." I'll give you my support, but you think I should just give her a counselor.
You can support her by just being there, like Henry described, by mm-hmm. being the person that listens and says, "Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, this okay. must be really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you need
and
any
I
help? What can I do for you?"
But don't you drive it.
Okay.
Doesn't that feel like a lighter burden to carry?
Yes, it does. But
you're excited that she's seen this now. So it's like you want to quickly get her to the finish line.
Yes.
Okay? She's not going to go any faster than she can go.
Okay.
She's got to come to this or it won't be lasting.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this.
Good. Your voice, you sound more relieved.
Yeah.
Just even when you start.
I cry all the time because,
of course,
you know,
it's hard to watch.
I mean, she's 34 years old and he's 41 and it's like she's been married to 6 years I think it's guilt because I told her that if she does it God's way that God will have a wonderful plan for her life, and if she doesn't do it God's way then God comes and cleans up our mess, but then he gives us his plan B, which is usually not as good as plan A. But you know, so she waited. She was a virgin
right.
when they got
theology.
Married, and she waited for this perfect man. And I knew he wasn't the perfect man, but she wouldn't listen. Wait a minute.
So you've tried to talk. You've tried to talk to her before.
Plan A. Why am I going through this?
Well, you know what? Here's the good news. God has a history of when we screw up Plan A, giving us Plan A plus.
Okay,
it doesn't
yeah,
go to plan B. You don't keep
it.
In this infinite regression because of one screw up.
Well, then we'd all be on plan F.
Yeah.
We,
you know what?
I mean, we wouldn't be making it at all.
Exactly.
We just might as well hang it in.
I love that parable where the guy that, like, you know, just gets in at the last minute gets paid as much as the workers that were good all the time.
Yeah.
Because God's generous. And so I wouldn't discourage her from a plan A plus God. What I would encourage her is just get with God's program. But listen, I want you to remember back when you tried to give her advice before.
Uh-huh.
She went the opposite way of your advice.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Well, what do you mean, sort of?
I prayed about it, and I'm spirit-filled Christian, and another guy she was dating, I knew he wasn't the one, and I said something to her, and she believed me and got rid of him.
Yeah.
But this one, I couldn't say that about. I really felt in my spirit that he was the right one for her, but I couldn't figure out why, because he was so wrong.
Okay.
All
right. Well, let's just say that
it's relinquishing
maybe
control.
The bottom line is
really relinquishing control. Mm-hmm. And it can feel really scary when we are in life and we have people that we love that are out of control. And it sounds like, you know, she's picking up on that. What might be a really good resource for Linda in that, for her, to learn how to let go, right, and trust her daughter's distress to bring her to a place of recovery? What might be a good resource?
You know why I bit my tongue?
Why?
Because, Linda, what I don't want to do is give you a book that you turn around and hand to your daughter and say, read this.
That's why I said it's for Linda. What would be a good book for Linda? For her.
The Bible, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, I
Regret-Free Living.
Yeah, I mean, we can send her lots of books, but I don't want to.
Regret-Free Living is like how to stay out of that place of regret. I hear the regret. Regret that my daughter married him in some ways. You know, there's just kind of living with that pretty rigid sense of what's right or wrong.
I just want Linda to get less in control of this deal.
Yeah. And you helped her, Henry and Jill. I mean, her voice changed when you realize, I don't have to carry this burden. When someone is a controller and when they're that distressed over their family, you do try to take the reins, and it's a heavy burden.
But they've got to do it.
They have got to. You were very right.
And life never looks how we thought it was going to.
No,
it doesn't.
We can't predetermine that.
I was talking to my daughter not long ago, who's 10, and she had a particular friend that was really difficult, and she was struggling with this friend. And it's so clear what she needs to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking that same thing. You know, there's part of me that wants to say, Olivia, come on, send her packing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's so hard, but it's so much better when you just ask him, so do you like playing with her? What's it like? What happens afterwards?
Let their brain process it.
Because you know what we've learned through neuroscience is that when you're giving people advice, their brain's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're asking them to solve their problems, their brain is growing new pathways that turn into behaviors.
And we'll be right back.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham, and I am here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We were just talking about control or loss of control with our loved ones, family members, and it's so much that way when it comes to drug and alcohol addiction as well. And family members are in distress about what to do with that. And it oftentimes it's the distressed one that is the first one to reach out for help. We have a Christian drug and alcohol treatment center here at New Life that we'd love to tell you about. It's a 12-step program, faith-based. We've got doctors and treatment folks there that can help with the medications, and we really want to help you. So give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So let's go back to the calls. It looks like we have got Nadia. Nadia is calling from Lake Forest, California, and listening on KKLA. Hey, Nadia.
Hi.
Hi. How can we help you today?
Well, thank you for calling my call. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am a little bit nervous, very nervous.
It's okay. I've been a little nervous today, too.
That's good.
So how can we help you?
We've been married 26 years. I am 53 years old, and my husband is 60. And we are in the process of a divorce.
Sorry about that.
Why?
Well, my husband found a very young Chinese girl and I decided to be with her and, you know, leaving me.
Oh, painful.
So sorry.
Very painful.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Very hard. How can we help you? What's your question for us?
Well, my question was because of his having an affair with this young girl, I have become very insecure about my body and my age. And I become very, very animosity towards the young Chinese girls. And it's I've been hurting with betrayer.
Yeah.
And my husband doesn't show much remorse. And he's justifying his divorce and cheating, blame on me, all of that. And we had a series of financing problem. And my hardest thing is, I don't know how to forgive him. I have so much anger and hurt.
So what have you tried? Like, where are you in the process?
Because it seems like you're in the middle.
We are almost close to very final in divorce.
So what have you tried to deal with all this hurt?
Well, we've been going counseling about 2 years. That's where we, he's been hiding his affair.
Right, but since you've known everything, and you're not going to counseling together now, right?
No, we done. He already stopped the counseling, but he's in a CR.
Are you in counseling?
No, I am not. I'm currently going a divorce care class.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
That's really good.
Well, that's probably one of the best things that you can do, because, you know, as you were describing your story, Nadia, everything you described that you were feeling, I was sitting there thinking, that's normal, that's normal, that's normal. And if you weren't feeling those things, I'd be a little more concerned.
Yeah, Nadia.
And, the idea, too, of
you've been betrayed. I mean, you know, it's awful what's happened to you. And if you weren't feeling betrayed, then you'd be out of touch in some way.
Well, and it's amazing when it is an affair. I mean, having, Nadia, I don't know if you know this, but I also had a husband who had affairs, multiple affairs. And when you were speaking and you said that you struggled with your body, with your age, with how you feel as a woman, my heart, I could just reach out, you know, because I thought, I have been there. I have been there. It's an assault to us as a mm-hmm. woman. That betrayal, it kind of strips us of our femininity. And it's taken me a while to get that back. And I have been in counseling for some years. Because there, before that, I was fine. I felt really confident about who I was. But there's something about that betrayal. And I believe that a woman has to really kind of build herself up back again and really be reminded about who she is and her beauty. But it takes a while. It's taken some really amazing therapists to walk with me along that path, and friends and family. And it's taken me a while to heal. It did not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And so I say stay in divorce recovery, but I would encourage you to get in and do some deeper work, even still.
In addition to the divorce.
And in addition to the divorce care.
To get into some therapy.
What might be a really good resource for Nadia? What do you think would be a really good resource for her?
We wrote a book called God Will Make a Way. And I think it addresses a lot of the different areas that you're faced with. You know, how do you go through a horrible loss? How do you go through a divorce? And how do you heal from pain like that? It's got a lot of very specific sections to walk you through it kind of step by step. So we'll send that
fabulous
to you.
Fabulous. That'd be perfect.
Yeah. And the idea of kind of rushing to forgiveness, I think, is because people want so badly out of their pain. It hurts so bad. But Nadia, you are in the middle of this process, and it's a day at a time walking through, because you're still being hurt. The divorce hasn't happened yet. You're still being hurt every day.
Yeah.
So there's new things to forgive every day.
There are. And we want to let you know, thank you for calling. And those of you that are listening to us, we are so blessed to get to have you to speak with every day. And part of the reason that we can even do this is because you are supporting us. We want to say thank you to those that are in our New Life Club members that faithfully every month give us, it's $30 a month, which is, think about it, that's like what? Four Starbucks, five Starbucks coffees, you know, that you could give.
And many less calories.
And many less calories and jewels in your crown. But truly, you know, this is an anointed ministry of the Lord, and it's the way that we have been able to touch so many lives. So right now in the summer, we are in, as Larry Sonnenberg said, he's the president of New Life Ministries here, and he has come on the radio and said, you know, kind of like down at the beach, you know, when they've got the flags out for the warning on the different water levels and waves and all of that. They've got the red flags and the yellow flag and the green flag. And we really are in a yellow flag season. We need your help. We've actually lost some stations because we've lost some funding. So it's real. We hate to, you know, keep bringing it to you, but we have to keep bringing it to you because we want to stay on the air.
And because new people become listeners every day, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I'll repeat this for you old timers, you know this, but many people don't know that this program is listener supported. It's not like syndicated radio that you hear on, you know, regular secular stations where there's advertising that pays for it and, you know, all the expenses are paid to the show. It's the opposite in Christian radio. We have to pay, as a ministry, we have to pay to get the airtime to be on the air. And so the way we pay is through donations. So that's why we say we need your help.
Because
that keeps this ministry going.
And we just need 100 people. That's what I heard. 100 people this like today. If you would just call up today for June. It's just for the month of June. We've been pushing, but we really do need your help. So if you've been thinking about giving, now is the time. Thank you for listening. We love you. We care about you. And for those of you on the line, hold, we'll be right with you for the next show.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.